All right, everybody. Hello and welcome to our very first ERC Lab Retreat Day for the 2019-20 season. And I'm excited to be here. It's one of my favorite things to do. This is specifically for our blood chemistry reports, like going through your blood chemistry and giving you analysis, because it does take some time and it's also a lot of stuff for you to learn. My goal for this is to share with you what I'm seeing as far as imbalances in, if you have any, maybe you're perfect, but I doubt it. I doubt anybody is, right? Any imbalances that I might see in your labs, and then come up with some plans for you, educational pieces that you can do to help your body to restore from those imbalances. And the purpose is also to have you start to get an understanding of what some of these things mean. You certainly won't become an expert at this. We have in our practitioner certification program, we have what, 12 or 15 or 20, I don't know, some large number of hours of education so that they can become proficient at it. So I don't expect it. But what I do expect for you is I want to empower you that when you get a lab test back from a doctor, you know, say 3, 4, 5 years from now, you have had some exposure here to be able to ask some key questions like, well, just because the lab doesn't flag this as being high or low, does that really mean that I'm in balance? Number one. But number two is, just because the lab, or when the doctors say, oh, the lab flagged it as high, but it's just a little high, let's not worry about it, that you go, wait a minute. You know, I have enough of an understanding that this is related to my liver. And if it's saying that my liver's struggling right now, I don't care if it's struggling a little or a lot. I want to stop it from struggling now before it gets to be a lot. And so you're going to get more and more understanding of how that works. So to me, I'm excited about teaching this stuff. I know folks who've been in this program for years and they just come to every single one of these just because they learn and they learn and they learn. And I know last time we did one of these, we had people that were on like from the beginning to the end, and we had it 2 days in a row, which was a bit intense for me, as well as everybody that came to both days in a row, but they literally came from the beginning to end of both days and just got their labs done on one of them. So it's just a learning process. You don't have to learn all this stuff, but I know some of you, I was saying earlier to Angelica, I think we had sent you initially the practitioner report. And I'm like, oh, sometimes people get a little overwhelmed when they see the practitioner report because it's so big. And I thought, nah, not Heather. She's good with it because she's a geek and likes to dig in. So, and some of you are like, oh, what is this? 41 pages? Can you give me the 2-page summary, please? And that's what we're here for, to really help you to see, no, you're not dying just because this says this, that, or the other thing. It's really just helping you to see what things might be out of balance and what it might mean in your own physiology. And sometimes as we go through it, you go, oh, right. Cause maybe something you've been dealing with for a long time and you're seeing some imbalances there that go, oh, the light bulb goes on. You go, wait, you know, maybe we need to address this. So that's what we're here for. And what I wanted to do is to start out, and I'm glad you're first. And are you okay with me using you as an example and going in more depth? So I want to go through and let people know how this works, like how the reports are structured and what kind of stuff in the master tracker. And so, because this call, we don't have as many people signed up because a lot of people didn't get their labs back in time. But on the next call, we have a lot, and I don't want to have to slow us down by taking a long time. I want to be able to have them go listen to the first one. And then that way we'll just jump right in and get into your stuff on the second one. Does that make sense? So you're good to be a guinea pig? I thought you would be. Good. Thank you. All right. So I like to, unless you have lots of noise in your background, I like to leave your line open so that you feel free to ask questions as we go through it. Initially, I'll just be talking about the report and the different sections of it. And if you're the type that gets overwhelmed by all the geeky information and just want us to handle it, don't worry about it. Just, you know, read a book while you're listening. And when we get to what's important for you, we'll have it make sense. We're not here to overwhelm you. But what happens is in these programs, we attract the people who really want to know. You're either frustrated enough with the kind of care you've gotten in the past. You've seen other family members or friends get bad information because they didn't know enough. or to have somebody that you know where the doctor said, oh, that doesn't mean anything. And the next thing you know, they have some, you know, rare exotic disease. We are here to help you, not to diagnose and not to treat. And I want that to be really clear. Like, what we do today is not intended to replace your relationship with your practitioner. But what it is allowing you to become empowered, to be more present with your own health and take charge of your own health so that you can be that informed pain in the you-know-what patient that most of the conventional Western doctors just like cringe when they come in. And I want that for you. Don't feel like, you know, it's not okay to intimidate your doctor. It's perfectly fine to intimidate your doctor, because what that does is open up their eyes to, wait a minute, everything that's important in my medical practice, I did not learn in medical school, and I need to be looking at things a little bit differently. And we have lots of folks who have gone to their doctors after doing one of these and started questioning things. And we've had two like extremes of response. One is, oh dear, you've just been checking the internet again. All that stuff you see on Google. Don't worry, I'll take care of you. You know, that condescending thing. And then we've had others who go, wow, where did you learn all this? Wow, you know a lot. We've had patients fire their doctors, and we've had doctors fire their patients. So if you get fired by your doctor, he says, look, I don't want to deal with this. You know, not the right doctor for you, right? Not open to you being the person in charge of your own body. Does that make sense? You are in charge of your body. You have every right to ask lots of questions in a kind and caring and compassionate way. And if your doctor's unwilling to order specific tests that you think are important, or unwilling to listen to you when you say, you know what, doc, I know my liver enzymes are in the normal range, but every single year they're going up. Does that mean that my liver is stressed out at this point? And when they say, don't worry about it, we'll wait until it's out of range and then we can do a liver transplant. Duh. You know, they don't exactly say that, but they say, don't worry, dear, it's not out of range. But we're going to show you how you can look and keep track of this stuff. So if your liver enzymes are creeping up, what's going on? Do I need to do some things to support my liver? Are there some herbs? Are there foods I'm eating that are hurting it? Are there exposures that I have? Do I have mold exposure potentially that's just building up? And you can catch things before they become really super symptomatic. Does this make sense to everybody? Raise your hand if you are interested in this being empowered to take charge of your own health. Yes? Yes? Okay, cool. Good. So that's where we're going to start. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to share my screen, and we're going to start with Heather's report. I'm not going to go through the report that you get from the doctor, just because it's time consuming, disorganized. And, you know, we've had you put it into, or your coach has put it into the spreadsheet. The Master Health Tracker has a lab spreadsheet. We've also taken those numbers, and your coach has run it through our blood chemistry software. And we put those numbers in, and it has all kinds of algorithms in there that give you some ideas of what might be something to look at. So on its own, if I just handed you that report, unless you're pretty sophisticated, have been through it before, it could be a little overwhelming, but we're going to show you what's important in there. And using our clinical knowledge, our knowledge of you, but also our knowledge of how the body works, help you to interpret it in a way that makes sense so that you're not freaking out. Oh my God, it said that might be a cancer. No, no, no. We're not going to go there. What we're going to do is go, oh, this shows this imbalance. I should start to, you know, do something about this. Or if they say you need medication for this, that you have the right questioning, and you may need medication for something. It might be life threatening, or it might be on the verge of, or, you know, there might be such low iron, you know, or anemia markers that you need to take a prescription iron supplement. But what else do you need to do? Go deep and look for the root cause. And that's where we're taking you through that. Your doctor may not necessarily be doing it. They're just going to go, here, take some iron. You're low in iron. Here, you know, take some whatever, you're low in it. Make sense? Good? We ready to go? Who's ready to go? Good. And we have a bunch of people on here that are not getting their labs read today. And I admire you. Like, it's like really cool that you just want to learn this stuff, right? And don't get overwhelmed if it goes a little over your head. It goes over all of our heads when we first hear this stuff. Went over my head the first time I started looking at it this way. But it's the more and more you see it, and when you personalize it to you, how it makes sense. Okay? Ready? Let's begin. All right. So I'm going to open up this one. All right. So I don't need this thing about Zoom. It was just me getting in. And I don't need this. And I do need this. Now I have all of your stuff open. So I'm going to start with Heather, Master Health Tracker. Do you see Heather's Master Health Tracker in front of you? Yes? Okay. All right. And I have Heather's permission to share this, correct? Okay. Verifying that Heather shook her head. Yes. So, oh my goodness, you're busy. Did you put all this stuff in? Oh, yeah. Look at all these labs. This is awesome because you've got labs going all the way back to 90. Holy cow. Okay, so I'm not going to look at every single one of these. What I'm using in this tracker is I look for some patterns. And I look to see, is there something that has been up, like here with the glucose? This is glucose. And I'm going to move you guys over here so I can look at this chart. I'm looking at glucose. And you've had this pattern of your glucose being nice, perfect in the 80s and going up in the 90s and then perfect for a while. And then your most recent one, which was in September, it looks like, is 97. So I want to ask you, because we have our little cool glucose meters that we can do at home. This is my favorite one. They no longer supply strips for it. And I have a few strips left. But how does that compare to what you're seeing when you test your glucose at home? Unmute yourself. Let me see if I can unmute you. Oops, you're muted. Okay. There you are.
There we go. Okay. It's interesting because that was after 4 months of Sweet Spot Solution, and my numbers had been really consistent and steady between the low 80s and high to mid 90s. Okay. Very rarely did I, when I was really using a very controlled diet, very rarely did I go up past 110. In fact, I didn't go past 110 for almost 2 months.
But you never did here either, right? Your highest is in the high 90s, right?
Yeah. So I was surprised at that result, that came out that way on the test, because it doesn't fit what I see.
So you had been like that. Did you test that morning before you went in?
Didn't check that.
Okay. So I'm going to make a suggestion to anybody who hasn't had their labs tested, and also for you for when you get it done again. What I recommend is that morning when you first get up, you test your glucose, you mark it down. Right before you go in the lab, you sit in your car and you test your glucose again and you write it down. You go into the lab, you get it taken. And then as soon as you're done, even right there in the office, if you can, you test your glucose again, or if not, you know, go out to the car and get it and test it again. Two reasons for that. One is we want to see how your unit calibrates to the you know, expensive stuff. But we also want to see as if you're having a sympathetic response to the blood draw. So sometimes when this happens and they say, oh, my glucose was 82 before I went in and it was 97 on here, what went on? Well, how did you interact with the phlebotomist? Was it somebody who was like poking and prodding and you're like getting more and more stressed out because you're like, when are they going to get my blood? Or was it like one person told me, oh my God, I went in there and this rather sour look on her face and she was and it made me feel stressed, you know? So that's some of the things to note. And when you write it down, write that stuff down when you're recording and then you can compare it. Because 3 weeks later, when you get your report back, you might totally forget anything that happened that morning. Right?
Right.
Has so
right.
much stuff has happened in between.
Right? And my free Libra has been saying that for the past 2 months, it's been an average of 89.
Great.
And that's higher than on my Keto Mojo. The free Libra tends to read higher than my Keto Mojo.
But it shows average, right?
Average.
It shows average, and the average is the highs and the lows. And it's like, what's your overall average? Which would say to me that your A1C must be really good. So that's what I'm looking for.
It went down a little. Yeah. I think it went down 1 point. I think it was 5.1.
Look at that. Really good A1C.
Yeah.
Really good A1C. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, I'm not concerned about this.
Yay!
Because your pattern has been, it's mostly in the 80s, and here you had a 70. It's mostly in the 80s, but your A1C is 5.1. So I'm not concerned, okay? Unless I see something elsewhere that, and concern is a heavy word. I don't like to use that word at all. Look at the cute pattern. It looks like Lego sets. Oh, that struck me. So I'm looking at your most recent, your blood urea nitrogen, 16. It's a good number, excellent number. It's not too low, meaning, you know, maybe you're not absorbing protein. It's not too high. And at times, it looks like most of the time, it's been high, which would suggest kidney stress. So if you have had previous kidney stress, it's not showing up anymore, which is good, right? You're in a really good range with that. Same with the
Actually remarkable, because I have a diagnosis of stage 3 chronic kidney disease.
You've got it controlled really well then. Your dietary changes, your stress management, all the things you've done in sweet spot, your kidneys are looking good here. Okay,
you're good.
Your GFR is a little low. Glomerular filtration, right? Been that way. So there may be some stress on your kidneys, but they're doing a decent job of filtering, right? If we start to see these numbers, the creatinine and the BUN, go up again, then we'd say, well, maybe, you know, there's some additional stress support, whatever. But this is looking really good, in my opinion. Okay.
Well, I'm really glad to hear that.
I bet.
I saw the nephrologist, and he just looked at me and he said, whatever you're doing, keep doing.
There you go. Right? That's really good. And how long have you had that diagnosis?
3 years.
3 years. Okay. And this was way back. Where's that first number? It's been going on for longer than that.
Yes. Yes. He said I was the most stable chronic 3 patient in his caseload.
Yeah, it's been going on for a while, because it was your GFR was low down here, your BUN was low, which may suggest more of a intestinal thing, but right in through here, there's a lot of stress going on. Okay, let's see what else you got here. You know, you see all the greens here, we're doing really well. Sodium, you know, sodium goes up and down based on your stress level, based on your electrolyte status, etc. Your potassium, your sodium. So this is saying to me that there used to be probably some adrenal stuff, and that's stabilizing. So the electrolytes, the sodium potassium ratios and the chloride are oftentimes related to adrenal stress. So this is looking good here. Calcium, you know, calcium generally maintains. Generally, if it's out of green, then we're like, what's going on? Because the body is always trying to maintain a certain level of calcium because it's so important for heart. So it's one of those things that the body will maintain at all costs. Yours have gone just a little bit outside the optimal range, but never outside of the lab range. If we look, let's just look at the lab range. 8.7 to 10.5. So like you just drop below the 9.2 a couple of times, but never really low. So calcium's looking good right now. Phosphorus, you know, phosphorus is a little on the low side, and that could be related to vitamin D status. And for you guys looking at these things, we've created it and tried to make it easy for you. So look at your phosphorus is always, you know, it's just been in a low range. It's better than it was back a year ago, but it's in the low range. So we go over to here, and you see where it says possible interpretation, not diagnosis, possible interpretation, right, is that with it low, low stomach acid, vitamin D deficiency. So whenever I see something like that, what I usually do, and you may want to do this with your chart, is as I'm going through these with someone, I'll take and I'll mark over here, and I'll fill in with the color that is there. So as I'm looking through for like what might be going on, how do I interpret? I can go through and go, wow, there's three of those that say low vitamin D, or there's four of those that say low stomach acid or whatever. Maybe that's something I need to be looking at. Like here, you only have, you know, the only one you have here is this.
Right.
Right. And the GFR. And you can see, well, GFR high is a low is a kidney problem. So the only follow-up was, you know, and you already know this, but if you didn't, I would say, you need to get this checked out. Because I'm not gonna make up that this is okay. Right. So I'm just gonna mark that one there. Your protein looks there we go. I went too fast. Let me move this over. Protein wasn't tested?
No.
Ever? Oh, way back when.
Way back, yeah.
But, you know, this is, okay, I'm just going to say, this is a little scary to me, that someone who knows that you've had a kidney problem isn't testing your protein. Right? Because if I look here, back, you know, it was a little on the low side back here, but it hasn't been tested in 7 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's just like a standard thing. We always test kidney. I mean, we always test protein for kidney, for liver function, et cetera. Albumin, on the other hand, is good. So it could indicate that the kidney, that's, and they don't do globulin either. Usually we do kidney, we do protein, albumin, and globulin. All right. So the albumin is okay, but I don't know what the globulin is. So I'm going to keep that in my mind that I want to be looking at stuff. Bilirubin. So liver stuff. Are you sure that you got all the stuff off your report?
Yes.
The reason has been very incomplete. So I'll keep that in mind in terms of, you know, your doctor's.
And I think the other thing to consider during this time is that I left my family practitioner that had been seeing me year after year and went into Sutter Health System that has piecemeal doctors for me.
Nobody's
really. And I feel like that's the kind of thing that he always was on top of, and that's his data back when, 7 years ago. And then after that, it fell through the cracks.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, none of the liver stuff is being done, and that's critical. Every normal year by year should have that. So what I'm looking at here, bilirubin looks fine. That's, you know, rare that's out of whack. I'm going to go back and actually use this old data to just kind of give you some ideas of what it might have meant and see what might make sense now. This is the one that concerns me, is alkaline phosphatase being on the low. I mean, pretty low, 70 to 90. So mostly in Western medicine, they go, oh, low is good. If you don't have any liver problems, dear, you're good. And it goes down to all the way to 27. Below 70 can suggest that you have a zinc deficiency, a B6 deficiency, et cetera. So I'm going to mark that over here, even though it's not in the current one, it's in the most current one that I have. Can also be estrogen dominance. So if you're on, are you on any sort of estrogen replacement?
Yes.
You are? Okay.
Yes. So. And the estrogen was high, and the last after June, my new integrative doctor, who is the one that keeps, by the way, saying, where are you learning all of this? Can I get that resource?
That's great.
Finally got the doctor I need. So anyway, she changed the estrogen level and dropped it. And we haven't retested that. It's coming up in January.
Okay. And she's doing blood to retest?
Yes.
Okay. I would highly recommend that you consider, when she's ready to redo that in January, that you do a Dutch test.
Yeah, she did the Dutch test, and so, yeah, we can add that.
Yeah, because I want to see what the metabolites are, right? Is the higher estrogen putting you at risk?
Right.
So it could be estrogen dominance, which it sounds like that's part of it, because this is way back then. Zinc, B6 deficiency, malabsorption, and thyroid and adrenal. So it perks me up to go, okay, you know, thyroid and adrenal. Let's look to see. The adrenal markers in the blood itself don't look off, but the Dutch would give us adrenal. Wow, there's so much missing. And this was not done by the integrative doctor. This was done by the...
That old data of 7 years ago was my family practitioner.
And then the recent one was who?
We've had 5 years at Sutter Health. And so the June is the integrative doctor that I, that was my first appointment with her, and she ordered a number of labs for me.
You did, but she missed a bunch too.
Yeah.
You didn't do any liver. And if you've got kidneys, recommending kidney, liver.
Okay.
Makes sense. So yep. A liver panel. Liver panel costs you $25 if you have to do it out of pocket.
No problem.
The protein and the AST, ALT, et cetera. So I would recommend you get it and just go to runmylabs.com and look for his liver. I think it's a CMP and it includes all of that. CMP, yeah, or the CWP even. The CWP's would give you some overlap with what you already did. It's $59, but I think the CMP is like $35, $25, something like that. And that would include all the liver and kidney markers.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll do that.
Yeah. So June, she did your, look at your improvement in your cholesterol over the last year, right? It's in a good range. It had been high and then it went low. What was going on in these areas when it was low?
What was the year on that? Let me look here.
14 and then 16. It was really low.
Yeah. Vegan diet.
Okay. Well, it works, I guess.
That worked, but it caused weight gain like crazy. I'm not very tolerant of carbohydrates.
Yeah. You were on like a standard kind of grain and beef.
I couldn't tolerate statins because they gave me leg cramps. So he gave me a different approach. And I think it was part of what maybe taxed the kidneys because it worked in the kidneys instead of the liver.
Mm. He gave you a drug to do that?
A statin. I had a statin for quite a while. And then in 2016, the endocrinologist took me off of the statin.
Okay. In 16. Okay. And look at that. Your cholesterol went down. Okay. So now you're not on a statin, I'm assuming, right?
Correct.
And you had a really nice drop from March to June and you're perfect here. When we look at your numbers, your triglycerides are good. Your HDL is good. Your HDL triglyceride ratio is ideal. And your LDL is a little above, but I'm not concerned about it. I think the main thing I would focus on is maybe bringing those guys up. Not those guys, but the HDL. But the HDL is looking good. So I don't know that this, you know, you got to look at it with a grain of salt. I don't think this is a problem given these numbers. So
I was excited about it.
Yeah. Did they ever run an advanced lipid panel? Like the advanced cardiac? No.
I did the Cleveland Heart Labs, so you have that data.
Okay.
And I have two of them in there. So you have a before and after.
Okay. All right. And so we've got that, and that's looking good. Your TSH, are you on any thyroid medication or have you been? Yes.
Yes. And she's adjusted it. I had an endocrinologist that put me on all synthetic stuff, and so now we're converting it over to compound. So now I've got all compounded doses. Mm-hmm. The T4 is still synthetic.
T4 is still synthetic. So T4 is actually okay. You're not converting T4 to T3 efficiently. Huge difference here. So that's not a matter of you need more of thyroid medication. It's a matter of what do we do to help you to convert. And there's a number of things. About 50% of the conversion happens in the liver. You don't have a clue what your liver is doing because we don't have those numbers.
Right.
About 25% of that, and these vary from person to person, but about 25% of that happens in the gut. So if you've got some leaky gut, if you have some dysbiosis, those are things that, you know, need to be addressed. So I know that Patty, are you in Patty's group you're in Patty's group, right? So,
right, I am. And I do have the GI effects that shows dysbiosis.
It does show dysbiosis, right? So those are the kinds of things that you clean up. Stress, high levels of stress will cause that conversion to go down. Selenium deficiency. So, you know,
and that was high.
That was high?
My selenium was high. It was just one point out of the normal quote range was 161.
Yeah, I don't, personally, I don't think most minerals are good to test in the serum. They just don't where they show up. You look for signs of deficiency and there's other markers for it. So it may or may not be that. It may be that it's not being converted to the active form that's being taken up in the tissue. So it may not be. It may be that you're fine. You can do simple things like take 2 to 4 Brazil nuts a day and then reinvest in, you know, maybe 6 to 8 weeks. But if you're changing thyroid doses, it's going to be harder to tell. Have you ever had your iodine tested? Iodine load test.
It seems to me that I saw that.
Okay.
I think that's in there. I think there is. She just did that in June. The iodine.
You've got a lot of tests. Little Dutch from here, GI effects. So a lot of tests, and this isn't something we have the bandwidth today to go over. This would all be the stuff I would go over. Are you in the gold or silver? I forget. You're silver.
Silver. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Typically what we do on the detailed lab analysis call. I see a Dutch. I see heavy metals, GI effects, Cleveland Heart Lab. I'm just going to look because I'm curious. Oh, this has the GI, the estradiol on here too.
Excuse me, Dr. Rita Marie. Patty is Heather's coach, and she wanted you to know that there have been liver labs run in June, but they're not in that health tracker, but they are in her blood chem report. So it just, they've been run. Oh. I think it's just not showing in the tracker.
Okay. We'll look at that. And maybe it was the abbreviations they used were not the same as the abbreviations that we use in there, like SGOT, SGPT versus ALT-AST, although we have that there. Yeah. So, you know, you've got some inflammatory, you've got some, I don't like the report as much as I like some of the others. Right. It doesn't show me the sizes. CRP is a little higher than I'd like it to see. And this was how long ago? 19. So it was this year. Okay.
And then there's the earlier one to the right. Yeah, iodine is the one I added in.
Well, iodine serum again is not very useful. It's usually an iodine load test that works better.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to just look at when.
Now, urine. It says iodine random urine.
Okay.
I think that's 281.
All right. But what did they do then? A challenge to see what happened when you took an iodine load?
No.
Yeah. That's where we really want to see it. But I don't see, labs. Patty, where are they? The ones for the recent ones you said in June?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Am I unmuted? Go back to Heather's main page.
Okay.
And then go to, should be under labs.
It was in labs, yeah.
Was in labs?
Labs, blood chem reports.
Okay.
There it is. And then it was the up to the, well, it shows up in either one of those if you go to the history.
In here. Okay, good. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, I had this one open already. So let me just go over here so I don't have it open twice. I'll look at this. I like to look at the charts. Okay, here we go. It might have been that you didn't see it in the, you know, it's easy to happen, but let's see, chloride, potassium, T4, glucose, sodium, there we go, AST, you had them in 214 and you had it now, those are good, ALT is good, bilirubin is good, okay, so the liver ones, what about LDH, did they do LDH? No, I don't see LDH. Okay. And then you have the VLDLs in there as well. Was that from the Cleveland Labs? I don't see that on there. Okay. Let's go back here. We'll go into that in a moment. I just want to go through some of this. Antibodies. You do have, yeah, that's crazy that they did less than 20. Because if it's between 10 and 20, it means something different than if it's like 5. But you do have TPO antibodies. Fibroglobulin usually above 1 is not. Let me look. Let me just look in your Optimal DX. And okay, thyroid peroxidase shows up as 11. And I don't see antithyroglobulin here. Yeah, I don't see antithyroglobulin in here. What would be helpful for those of you who are not doing this today, but the next time, is to make sure that you've uploaded to your lab, to your master folder, the original of these, because I'm not seeing where the original is, so I can't look at the original to kind of compare if I see something that looks screwy. That makes sense. But you know, when I see TSH up, down, up, down, up, down, that usually means there's an autoimmune. That's a very common pattern in autoimmune. So when I see, look at this little graph, it goes, right? That's usually because there's an autoimmune, or you're on medication and they're having a real hard time getting it balanced.
This I think there was definitely the latter going on. The initial person that I worked with had a very aggressive approach to it. And then the endocrinologist was pretty freaked out by what she was seeing as far as the numbers and gradually tritated me down to much lower doses of everything.
Might be the ones where it went high, and then those really low ones might be when you were on too high a dose. But you see this, I'm just going to share with you, this is from this other report, but whenever you see things that are skewed, like this is thyroid, TSH is high, T4 is, you know, at the low end of optimal, and T3 is low. And when you don't see them lined up straight in a line, and they're at an angle like that, there's something happen in the interactions between them. And in this case, it's the interconversion. I'm just looking to see on this report where the and this, you had said estrogen was high, but here it shows estrogen is low.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It was testosterone that was high, excuse me. Yeah, testosterone is high. Testosterone high can affect the conversion in the opposite direction than I'm seeing, Rhea. So that one doesn't help much. Where are the antibodies? Oh, the antibodies might have been not done on this particular one. Okay. All right, let's go back here. So the thyroid is an issue that needs to be addressed. I was just trying to find where this one came from, the less than 20. Because that's typically not the way it's reported. But there's definitely some antibody stuff. It's not severe, but that could be related to your gut, related to the dysbiosis, leaky gut. White cell count looks good. Red cell count is a little on the low side, been that way, except for here where it was a little on the high side. High side could be dehydration. Here was the most recent one in June, a little on the low side. So we're looking at, let's see if there's any other signs of anemia. Well, hemoglobin is on the high side, so that's not consistent. I also don't see iron. Iron over here.
There's some background sound.
Yeah, maybe Patty's open, or who else was open? Somebody may be open.
Ah, better.
There it goes. Let me see. Iron. Yeah. Nobody's ever tested your iron.
Nope.
Kind of weird. Especially given red blood cell counts being a little bit off.
Mm-hmm.
And hemoglobin being a little bit off.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good thing to check.
Is that both iron and ferritin to check?
I like to see both because, again, kind of like T3 and T4, there's a reaction between them and it gives us a lot of good information.
Okay.
Going on. This looks like, these look off. Okay. There's something wrong here. In putting these numbers in. These 13s, 15s, that's not real. Totally
okay.
Out of line. So I'll look to see what they say in here. Patty, where is the original that you used to put them in this report? And thank you for putting all these numbers in because it's a lot of work.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, well, it took a little while. Plus, she's right. Like, her reports were crazy. There's like 28 pages of pieces. Which one are you looking for?
I'm looking for RBC, red blood cell count.
Oh, okay. So where is it on the optimal report?
I'm looking for it. Here's the blood test history because, okay, it's part of the CBC. So
there.
You see it. Here we go, CBC, RBC female. Yeah, so somehow or other, I think what happened is, Heather, you mixed up the RBC with the hemoglobin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because here we go.
Hemoglobins tend to be higher, although these are not consistent with what your hemoglobins are there. They're close. So
there's some error in the reporting.
Yeah, because that would be crazy. You would be in a severe case of hemochromatosis. What's it called? Well, anyway, it's when you have way too many red blood cells. You would be clotting. You would be thick blood. You would be really sick with those numbers, really sick.
Okay.
So it looks like it's more like here in the 5. It's still high. Consistently high. So I want to see the iron and ferritin.
I thought there was one iron on there too, but I could be wrong. I don't remember. But I thought I saw it in June. Is it not there?
Let's see.
Maybe not.
Maybe there was ferritin. I'll look for that.
No, there was no ferritin.
No ferritin and no iron.
So no one's ever
ferritin, but I could have sworn I saw no iron either, huh? Okay. I thought maybe there was one in there.
See it.
I guess not. Okay.
I thought
maybe
there was two.
See here, and this is some of the stuff. We'll go through these in a minute so you guys know how to read these reports. I'm sorry I'm taking so long with this, but there's some interesting stuff here. And I feel like we have the time with this so we can. Yeah, so these numbers need to be updated, but they are high. They are on the high side. So you were in the, why does that show up as 4.84? Oh, yeah, it's a little low, but the rest of these were high. But if I look at the Optimal DX report, it was, maybe you messed. Oh, okay, you put RDW. It's easy to get red blood cells, RBC versus RDW, similar. So I think you put the RDW numbers in the RBC columns.
Okay.
Red blood cell. Let's see if you did the RDWs. If I see no RDWs. RDW. Here we go. RDW, I see 13.9, 15.4. All right. So it's in the other report. We'll look at it in the other report. Now, the fact that these numbers for RDW are high suggests there's an anemia. There's some sort of an anemia going on, the size of your cells. Now, what we're seeing is higher numbers than we should if we look at this report for RBC, but not terribly high. I mean, they're higher than we want to see it. So it's of concern to make sure that these get monitored, because yes, it could be dehydration and the hemoglobin is high, but both the fact that they both are says to me there may be some increased viscosity in your blood, that it's thicker, that there's more red blood cells than there should be. And hemochromatosis is when your iron levels are too high, ferritin levels, and to be specific. And it's not thrombocytopenia. Somebody help me here. One of my practitioners here, what's the name of that condition with more red blood cells than you should have? I'm drawing a blank. Is Diana on? She'll know.
Is it Cooley's anemia?
No, it's more, I mean, that could be part of it, but no, it's, oh Lordy, why am I forgetting?
That's got a longer name.
It's kind of a, you know, it'll come. Oh, wait, here's what we do. We go into the software. So one of you go into the blood chem software, and you have access to hers, Patty. And if you go into the actual report where it's set, you can click it and it'll say, what does it mean when it's high? What does it mean when it's low? Somebody, maybe I have it in here. Let me see. I probably do. Okay. Yes. Polycythemia vera. Okay. So we want to make sure that, that's not what's going on. And there are some, you know, bringing it up and having a hematologist run some special kinds of report, special kinds of blood testing to make sure that that's not what's there. Could be as simple as, well, dehydration is what I said, right?
Yeah, I don't think that seems unlikely, because I usually get the water that you recommend, and I like water. I've always had plenty of water. And the warnings of the test. Those may be days that I didn't drink as much.
Oh, no, this isn't this isn't just the last test.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, so this is a pattern. All right.
But polycythemia vera is the one I would want to rule out. So it may be something to bring up with your doctor, like, huh, this pattern, are you concerned about polycythemia vera? He or she may say, oh, you know, no, because, or, huh, yeah, maybe we should look into that.
Okay.
We have, because your hemoglobin's high as well. Hemoglobin and hematocrit is high. So all of these are high. And it could be, you know, if we mark them, I'll just mark them here. Right. So they're all pretty much looking at the same thing. Do you have any issues with breathing? Emphysema, being short of breath.
No, but my dad had emphysema. I had anemia as a kid.
Yeah. So this is saying, see, this RDW is saying that there's still some anemia going on. What that is some of your red blood cells are small, some of them are large. Your MCV is right on the border. So it's like right on the border of being high. Which would be a B12 deficiency, but because we don't know what your iron or ferritin is, I don't know what that, like if your iron, if I see these numbers and your iron is like, you know, high, 150 say, then I would say we've got potential, well, no, that won't give me too much information because we could have both. But if you had a really low iron, like say your iron was, you know, below the normal range and you had a 90 on your MCV, my guess would be that you have both a B12 and a iron deficiency. But I don't have enough information here to know that.
Okay.
Monocytes are a little, at least as of June, a little on the high side. We like those to be under 6, under 3 actually. So it's a little on the high side, and we'll just mark that here. Monocytes are either signs of an acute infection that's just healing or a sign of something chronic, right? So it could be parasite. It could be liver dysfunction. You don't have a prostate, so I wouldn't be concerned about that. but when I see it multiple times, let me see how it is earlier. Yeah, it's been pretty consistently high.
Right.
Okay? That wouldn't be an acute problem unless you're always in the state of acute. It's more of a chronic. So it could be autoimmune. It could be a parasite. Did your stool test show any signs of parasites?
No, it was fine, but it was done after I started a probiotic and passed a couple of critters. And that's why she ordered the full GI effects for me and in my appointment, because I had seen those critters.
Saw them come out?
Yep, I sure did. Mm-hmm. I took a picture of them and said, what's this?
Right, absolutely. So look here on your D. Remember we saw your phosphorus was off? And I said that could be a vitamin D deficiency. As of last March, it had gone back down. So here you got it up into a really good range. Did you stop taking D between December of last year and March, or significantly drop it? Or is it just—
I significantly dropped it because the endocrinologist I saw at the time was freaked out about that number and said, that's too high.
Okay. So I'd like to see this.
Oh.
Are you taking—
I need to put it back, right?
Yeah, you want it up. 96 is perfect. Have any, are you taking any right now?
Yeah, I'm taking the vitamin D, vitamin K supplement. It's liquid.
How much?
4,000.
4,000. You know, you could get this tested again, or you could bump it up to 6,000. Wait.
The 96, I was 10,000.
You were 10 here, right?
Yep.
So I would probably go 6 or 7 and see if you could just get it to stay there. And then you want to test it every 3 months to see if you can get it for 3 times in a row to stay within that range. Know that it's winter, so we're going into winter again. You might actually be okay right now because it's summer, but I don't know how much time you spend outdoors in the summer.
Got it. Yeah, not as much as that you all would like me to.
Okay, so you have a choice here. Either go get it tested and then adjust your dose. So then you'll know what that level has done for you over this period of time. That's the more scientific way to do it. The cheaper way to do it is to just up it a little bit, because you can, you know, spend $10 over 3 months on extra vitamin D in it, you know, so as opposed to the test, which is about 60. So that's the other way to do it, is to just say, okay, I'm just going to up it to 7,000 or so for the next 6 weeks and then test it again. It's up to you.
Okay.
Okay. And with D, you can get home kits. You might be able to get your doctor to order it under insurance. If you do, then I'd get it sooner rather than later, because new deductibles start at the beginning of the year. And then these are more the advanced testing from your thing, which looks like, I don't think these match up as well with your thing. Had that open a little while ago, but it looks like I might have closed it. It might be, where'd your, okay, let's go backwards. Huh, where did your folder go? Okay, it's not there. Let me open it again. Your drive, practitioner report, lab folder. Okay, I'm just going to look again. I don't know how that got closed, but it did. Blood chemistry, and then we had, no, it wasn't in blood chemistry. It was in labs, Cleveland. Is this the older one? This is the newest one.
The new one should have both
color,
new and the old. Yeah.
Yeah, this one's in color. So I want to look at your fatty acids. Your omega-6-3 ratio is high. So I'd want to get that down. And the way you get that down is in Sweet Spot. There's a chart in the ERC program. There's all kinds of places where we have that for you.
Right. I've been working on that.
Work on that. Okay. That's good. Your EPA is low. Are you taking an EPA supplement?
I take the Nordic Naturals, the Ultimate Fish Oil.
Were you taking it at the time of this test?
Yes.
You were? Did you change the dose after taking this?
I did not.
Okay. Did anybody go over this test with you and say, hey, you need to adjust some things to make this better? No.
Okay. No.
Yeah. So that's what we're doing here. So I would suggest that you up your dose on that. How much are you taking right now?
Let's see, it's 2 capsules a day of the ultimate.
100 to 1,000 in each, my guess is. Probably 500 is my guess. I would up that. You're pretty low. We want greater than. I would say just probably if you were to take 3 a day, bring you into the right range, and then retest it. And you don't have to do this whole big test again. You can actually just do really inexpensively a blood spot fatty acid. We have it on our site, or there's a company. There's several of them. Just look up fatty acid, essential fatty acid profiles. There's some of them that are actually less expensive than Genova. I'm used to Genova. Okay. I've been doing it for decades, but there are some now that offer them that are less expensive.
Okay. Where I'm just looking at that ratio specifically.
Ratio, and it just has EPA, DHA, and whatnot. Your linoleic acid is high. So that's where I would be looking at your dietary almonds and sunflower seeds and comparison to chia seeds and hemp seeds, right? So these are a little high. Some people, it's as simple as, oh, I've been drinking almond milk since I went off of dairy, and that's why I throw it off. I'm eating a lot of sunflower.
I think, yeah, that was one of the things that I changed when I saw that, is I stopped making my own almond milk and using them in smoothies every day.
Okay, that might be why it's off. Okay, so that test would show you all of that. Okay, I think that's all I want to do for this one. So essential fatty acids is this part of this sheet, and basically increase your EPA, decrease your omega-3s, and play with that spreadsheet. Really does give you a good indication, and then make sure your B vitamins for conversion are there. But it sounds more like it was an omega-3 intake problem than anything else.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, now I have a lot more walnuts.
More walnuts, more hemp seeds, chia seeds.
Yes.
All those things. Good. And that when you put it in that spreadsheet, you get to the point where you go, oh, all I need is, you know, a tablespoon of this compared to 3 tablespoons of that. And boom, I've got a nice
balance. Yeah.
All right. So I want to go through this report, and I want to show everybody what's in this report. Let me see, is this the patient one? Yeah, this is the patient one. So all of you are going to get this once you've submitted and put your labs into your master tracker, and your coaches are going to put them in for you because they have access to the software, and we can't give you access to the software because it's proprietary software. But you'll put it in, and it has like algorithms. So is it 100% accurate for everybody? No, but it's really nice. At the beginning, it actually shows you, oh, I wonder why these aren't clickable. Usually these are clickable, but it tells you what page. So section 1, section 2, section 3. So if you wanted to actually see your blood test history, you go to page 22, you want to see your out of range. But these are the things I really like, are some of the indications of nutritional deficiencies and macronutrient status. So when you go in here, sometimes there's some notes. We have the opportunity, if we wanted to make notes in there, we could. And those of you who haven't done it, I generally don't, but we can. This describes to you the whole concept, why, and the functional approach. And it's written for you. It's not written for us as practitioners. It's written for you to be able to understand why this is different than you just going to your doctor and, you know, having them say, oh, you have an H here and you have an L here, and let's just watch it. Or don't worry about it. No, it has nothing to do with the mold exposure in your house, or has nothing to do with all these toxins you're taking in. Don't worry about it. It's still only a little bit above the range. And we like to look at things as from the standpoint of, don't wait till it's completely broken. Let's step in and optimize when we get some indication that it's off. We look at ratios, and that's what this software does, and it makes it easier. Personally, I always like to look at mine first. I usually don't take as long as I did with you today because I would be going through this more quickly. Usually when I'm going through it, I have someone's history that I've just gone through, and I use this, and then I go into here to see if there's anything that I might have missed in terms of something that the software could have picked up. This basically shows you which of your main body systems are most likely out of balance. I mean, you already knew about your thyroid, and sex hormones, because you're addressing those, right? And you already knew about your blood sugar. So no, you know, real insights here. you already knew about your kidney function. Cardiovascular, you know, you were on statins before, so it's your risk is probably way lower than it was years ago. And bone health is a little bit off. And then it'll give you descriptions so you can see why does it say that. You know, so it says, what labs are we looking at to look at thyroid? Those are obvious, right? You know, and it shows you those. Sex hormones, and you know, those are pretty obvious too, right? The sex hormone binding globulin and estradiol. And it tells you why it thinks that you're out of balance there and what the chance. Blood sugar, you know, glucose, and then other things. Why doesn't it show A1C? Maybe because it wasn't done on this most recent one.
That was just, I just got that one back. It should be in there.
It should be. Okay, we'll look, see. But 5.1 was looking pretty good. But, you know, so I'm not concerned as much about the blood. I'm not concerned about the blood sugar, but the thyroid and the sex hormones are ones to look at.
Yeah.
And then here you already know about the kidneys. And then the probability of dysfunction, it shows you here. And it's like, okay, these look pretty good. Macronutrients, carbohydrate. And I'm just wanting to look at what was put in for this one. Because sometimes, like when you have multiple times, you might have only gotten a handful of things tested on this particular one. This one had them. Okay, so this is going to give us a good report. So we look at the functional body systems. We look at the, you know, these others look fine. Macronutrients. So they're saying, you know, mineral status and carbohydrates. So those are things to look at. And we already talked about maybe iron. We talked about maybe selenium, zinc, based on some of the markers that we saw. Carbohydrate, mainly because your glucose was above the optimal. Remember we talked about selenium? Pretty high. Uh-huh. Okay. Probably do need selenium.
Okay.
I would just go for the 4 Brazil nuts a day and just see how it goes. Make sure.
I love them.
Oh, good. Balance them with your omega-3s. So if you're adding extra Brazils, which are higher omega-6, then balance them with some extra, you know, hemp seeds or whatever. I love making salad dressings with things. So I like putting Brazil nuts and hemp seeds and walnuts in the blender and put some chipotle and put some lemon juice and cashews or macadamia nuts or something for creaminess, or maybe not. Sometimes I don't even bother with those, but it makes a great dressing.
Where are the mac nuts on the scale? Are they high in omega-3 or 6?
Neither. They're actually
neither. Okay.
In mono and saturated. So they're pretty, you know, you got a free pass with those.
Okay.
Coconut, same thing. You got a free pass with those. Okay. So this is probably not based on the one where we saw the alkaline phosphatase being low, because that was early on, several years ago, actually. But I'm going to think that maybe zinc is an important one, just because you have issues with thyroid, you have issues with sex hormones.
And currently it's not in any of my supplements except a little tiny bit in the vitamin mineral.
And zinc is a hard one to absorb. Zinc is a hard one to get in a lot of food. So if you haven't already started to do it, get the Chronometer app and just start testing everything to see where it is. And maybe you don't need a supplement. Maybe you just need to look at what are good sources that you already eat that you can increase.
Okay.
These are decent in zinc, and pumpkin seeds are certainly good in zinc. So I would do the Chronometer and just really get a sense of what you're taking in and where you can improve your status. And it might be, you know, just, okay, I can just increase some of the foods I already eat, you know, makes it much easier rather than go getting another supplement. I hate.
Right. I'm with you.
You know, but selenium for sure, you know, based on your teeth, your T3 status, I would look at it. And that's just so easy. It's one of the easiest ones to say, just eat this food. 4 Brazil nuts gives you, you know, 4 times the RDA and the amount that has been shown in many studies to help with autoimmune thyroid, right? So it's just an easy one. It's hard to overdo if you're just doing it with food.
Okay.
Although you do have to watch that for that. Okay. So then you have your stuff where they show you the range. And, you know, you'll see on the scale, is it above optimal, below optimal? And this is for the most recent one. They can't show this range for all 8 of them that you put in. The one in the end where it compares them over time, you will see, you know, how they've compared over time, and especially given you haven't done all of this. So this says comparative total number of biomarkers in the optimal range. You've had very few, if any. Your current one has one that's in the alarm low, and I don't know which one it's in. Yeah, your estradiol being very low.
Yeah.
Again, I kind of don't like to recommend people supplement with hormones, especially estrogen, because it can be dangerous until you've looked at the Dutch to see how are you metabolizing it.
And I do have the Dutch, but I don't understand it.
Yeah, so we can, I was thinking maybe after we get through all these labs things that if anybody wants to get a Dutch done, that we just do a session on interpreting the Dutch. But if you're doing, you know, I do that privately with folks, you know, the ones that did some people got it as a phone. But I can't do it privately with everybody.
Yeah, no, it would be great to have that, because the interpretation I got was extremely limited. Yeah. For the amount of money I spent on the data.
Yeah. I it's hard to understand if you don't really know it. And we do a lot of those on our case study calls for the practitioners. So there's a few below, there's a few above, but most of your stuff is optimal. So, you know, you're not doing, it's not like there's any real big alarm things, right? So this one is a comparative report, and it just compares the previous one. Oh, this one has the September versus the November, because I think that's where you only had a couple of markers. So this compares that. And I think that Patty ran this against, let me look in your folder thing. I think she actually ran it against patient report November 8th. So here's the one. Oh, I thought
she did run another one.
You did another
one. Yeah, she ran it with June being the end point.
Yeah, I ran both of them because the one in September had some of the hormone stuff that the one in June didn't have, but mm-hmm. the June one was the most complete with all of the other markers in it.
Okay, yeah.
So I put both of them in there.
Good. Yeah. That's a good one. That's good to look at. So this basically shows you up, down, you know, and how far down. If it's really off, it'll show it in red. And how did it compare from one to the other? Did you go in the right direction or the wrong direction? So that's what this is. But I want to look at, you know, they have a lot of things where they just take everything and they show it to you in different graphical analysis.
Right.
So you can kind of look at this and go, okay, out of optimal range, you knew about the sex hormone binding globulin. And this might be, okay, so I'm just going to stop here because this is an advanced thing, but I think you can handle it. Sex hormone binding globulin binds onto your estrogen. So it doesn't make it bioavailable to you. So some people can have normal blood levels of estrogen and high levels of sex hormone binding globulin. And in men, it will latch onto your testosterone as well. It can latch onto testosterone in women as well. And it looks like, oh, your blood is normal, but it's mostly stuck to this binding globulin and not being released into the tissues like it should. TSH a little high. We talked about that already. Free testosterone's on the low side, but your total testosterone's on the high side, which means that a lot of that testosterone is being bound to the sex hormone binding globulin, so it's not available to your cells.
Got it.
Okay. One of the things, if ever you see high estrogen in the blood test, it can interfere with thyroid function, but that's not the case here. Right. Okay. And then this is all your comparison stuff. And then it shows you descriptions of all the things that are above optimal. So depending on how deep you want to get, you can read about them. Most of the time, when you read about it the first time, it goes in and out, unless it's like, so it's the kind of stuff that as practitioners, we review things over and over again. Okay. So your health improvement plan is address your thyroid, address your, it says female testosterone deficiency, even though the testosterone is high because the free testosterone is low. That's what's available to the tissues.
And that's because of the sex hormone binding globulin?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Right. So in one of the things, what we see is if you have a higher testosterone and a lower estrogen, that your body is not converting the testosterone to estrogen. And in men, a lot of times we see that they're over-converting. There's an enzyme called aromatase, and we always look at aromatase deficiency. In this case, you may have aromatase excess, which I can't off the top of my head, you know, remember all the different herbs and things that are affecting that. But you can look it up on the Dutch test, or you can look it up, or bring, you know, come to one of the calls and ask me and I'll look it up. Because we don't see it that often. I can rattle off all the things you can do for aromatase excess, but the deficiency, I'll go, was that related to? Anyway. And this just tells you more health improvement details. Again, thyroid conversion issues, and we talked about that being healing the gut and the liver. And then disclaimer. So that's it for you.
Okay.
Hopefully that's helpful for everybody who's listening to this after the fact. And I think what I'll do is I'll stop the recording and then start it again so that we can easily just say, hey, here's a really, really thorough one. And it'll be helpful for people who have similar type things. So let me stop share. And then I'm going to stop recording. And then I'll start the recording again. And then if anybody has questions, or if you have questions, then we'll move on. Stop the